The recordings are started.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the BC Members Conference Call on Thursday, February 19th, 2015 at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have Alicia Cooper, Cheryl Miller, Beth Allegretti, Andy Abrams, Steve Del Bianco, Jim Sinolafuri, Aparna Schreeder, Carl Schonander, Cecilia Smith, Jim Beskin, John Burrard, Philip Corwin, Tim Chen, Laura Covington, Marie, Claudia Selly, Andrew Mack, Zahid Jamil, Barbara Wanner, and I'm sure some joined while I was reading roll call. I do have apologies from Ron Andruff. I'm joining as staff Brenda Brewer. And for transcription purposes today, if you do speak, please state your name. And I'd like to turn the call over to Alicia. Please begin. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. And I want to apologize. We'll be in touch with the conference company and let them know of the long wait. I will want to turn it over to Jimson just because we are sort of behind schedule. Before I do that, though, is there any other business that folks would like to make sure we cover today? We're planning to hear from Jimson on finance operations, outreach, and membership, and we'll turn it over to Steve. We do have 25 minutes dedicated to policy today. I know that Susan is not going to be able to join us today, but Phil is on the line, and I'm not sure if David will be able to join us. So we should have plenty of time to cover what we need to cover. Are there any things that people want to make sure we cover today before we move on to Jimson? Okay, Jimson, over to you.
Thank you, Elisa, and good morning, everyone. Let me apologize in advance in case I have a network outage. The network here has been quite challenging today. Straight to the point, on finance, balance is still at that level, 67,000 euro plus. And we have two new members that are joining, Rock Media and Ugo Host. We are expecting new members shortly, Microsoft, LinkedIn, and Tencent. I would like to use the opportunity to mention to everyone that the deals will remain the same as the BC decided in Singapore. So except for applicants from developing countries, so that have been given the approval to get a discount of about 75% if they do apply for it. So the new billion round will begin from July 2015. Now to outreach, we plan a CEO roundtable in Abuja for March 25th. And it's basically to grow participation in ICANN to address the issue of volunteer burnout. So this is contained in my last report, so I will not want to flog this, but to use the opportunity to appreciate everyone for supporting this outreach, the ESCOM and the outreach committee in particular, towards enriching participation in ICANN and in BC. We are targeting close to 10 new members concerning this outreach, members that will be able to add more value to ICANN and BC work. Then on invoicing and banking, we've been discussing this severally. We discussed this at the at a Singapore meeting, and I believe we all can recall that you said FADI was well informed about this. The FADI too was also well communicated in Singapore, and they all committed to helping out. But just in case there is a plan B, and the plan B has been communicated also that we're going to outsource this particular responsibility, invoicing of our members and taking care of our banking operation. And then we also agree, or the members approved in Singapore, that the request of FC, that the Finance Committee, to be able to have a program to engage applicants that are not successful. So this was approved. They will not be on the list, but they will be informed of our regular program, like a newsletter, and also announcement. Then the fifth point I want to mention is regard to our constituency request, budget request. So we're going to submit the existing budget request in the absence of any new one. We're going to submit it before the deadline. And the existing one that you know is regard to crop, then the secretariat support, the leadership recruitment support that enable two leaders to join us in Singapore, one from Nigeria and the other from Taiwan, from Asocio. And then the intersectional too. We're going to make submission concerning intersectional following a general approval for us to meet more regularly in the CLG. Then finally, I would like to thank everyone that contributed to the ICANN 53 newsletter, to our newsletter that was well received in Singapore, appreciating Lisa, Steve, Marilyn, Susan, and please to thank you in advance for your next article for ICANN 53, and also to let members know that opportunity is open. If you have an article that is relevant to the subject matter, please feel free to send in the article. You can begin to prepare it as we prepare to go to Buenos Aires. So this is all I have for now. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, everyone.
Any questions for Jimson? So I believe we'll have the same opportunity. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is that?
It's Marilyn. May I ask a question?
Sure, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Thanks. Jimson, I just wanted to compliment you on all the work that you've done, but also to note that you're leading the work in the constituency to advance the support request to ICANN for the formal request that has to be completed by the 28th. And I wanted to just note that as a complementary work initiative that you're leading that you hadn't mentioned.
Sorry, Millie, I didn't get the last statement. Hello?
Yeah, I didn't catch that either.
She said something lastly, and I couldn't catch that. But I want to believe she's talking about the submission. So we're going to meet the deadline, surely. And I'll really encourage anyone that has any input in this regard to forward it as I prepare the submission. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Lisa.
I see Andrew has his hand raised. Andrew?
Thanks, Elisa. Yes, also wanted to compliment Jimson on a lot of work and some really great ideas. A suggestion, since we're just talking about our newsletter, and that is that I think one of the things that would be relatively, it would be a good piece of content all the time going forward would be to have some sort of a piece about our outreach efforts, highlighting events, highlighting new members, anything along those lines. I know we've done some of it in the past, but I think it makes good sense and just hopefully a helpful suggestion there.
Thank you, So I think we should probably move on, but just a couple of other things to keep in mind. I believe we'll have the same opportunity to invite a couple of guests to attend our BC meetings in Buenos Aires. So we should be thinking about companies in Latin America that we would want to invite as our guests. The other thing is I also wanted to let you know that Mama Latouf is planning to support an outreach event in Amman, Jordan, and that is an event that's focused on the DNS, and I'm sure he'll be providing some more information. He won't be requiring any funding for that since he's local, but he is taking it on the work to have our one of our fact sheets translated into Arabic, so that's really great news, and I think that'll be a good event too. Andrew, I see. I think Andrew, your hand's still raised from before. So, anything else from anyone? No. Okay, let's move on to Steve and policy. Steve.
Hey, thanks, Elisa. This will be a relatively quick policy report. There are the policy calendar I circulated last night lays it out. I'd first like to thank Laura Covington for turning around the quick comment on the five brand GTLDs and their RCEP for second-level country and territory names. As of last night, we were the only one who commented on that RCEP, and we supported it. It was much of the same rhetoric we used in support of BMW and Mini and Newstars. A little later, I'm going to come to a broader topic on the release of country and territory names and two-character codes in .brand TLDs to pick up on that. And so, Laura, we're going to turn to that, and I attached the draft of your broader comment to the policy calendar as well. Also, on February 2nd, we had also filed on translation and transliteration. I probably reported that to you while we were together in Singapore, so no need to go into that now. All right, turning to the current ICANN public comments, there are only four open right now, thank goodness. The Who is Accuracy pilot study report. Angie Graves, many thanks to you for circulating your initial draft back on February the 2nd. Jay Scott Evans and Susan Kawaguchi were fantastic. After traveling home from Singapore, they spent some time updating and putting comments and questions into Angie's draft. And that is a first attachment to today's policy calendar. Jimson, you and Ope, maybe even a few others, promised to also look at this. So please add your thoughts before the 25th of Feb so I can get this filed by the 27th of February. I want to add that Jay Scott and Susan, who know Who is inside out, created some comments, sidebar for Angie. Now, those comments are difficult for me as your policy coordinator to work out because the initial author, in this case Angie Graves, is the one who should respond to the comments that fellow drafters have come up with. And Angie, if you're unable to respond to those, I'm in a position of sort of splitting the difference, figuring out which comments to put in, which ones to leave out. Any questions from BC members on the call about that Who is Accuracy pilot study report comment draft? Thanks to the team effort on that. One is the GNSO policy and implementation. Jay Scott Evans is our co-chair of that working group, so not appropriate for Jay Scott to put his name all over our comments. Jay Scott is going to work with Zayed. Try to come up with some appropriate things for the BC to put in. Those comments are due the 3rd of March, so we need to get those circulated soon. I do hear an echo, so somebody may not have a...
Steve, this is Zayed. Can you hear me?
I do. Go ahead, Zayed.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Jay Scott couldn't be with us on the call today. He's traveling, he's in the middle of a train journey. Him and me are going to be speaking tomorrow to come up with a quick draft on these for comments, and you will have it pretty soon, probably in the next 2 to 3 days, so it can be circulated to the members, and then basically, you know, for comments, etc. Just wanted to say the challenge here is, it's such a good report. The only thing we're going to probably want to say is we support it, but we will come back with more later when I have more news with after discussing with Jay Scott. Thank you.
Hey, Zayed, thanks a lot for taking that up. When you do look at it, I indicated in the policy calendar a link to the most recent BC comment on this distinction between policy versus implementation. So please, Zahid, feel free to draw upon and cut and paste from anything we've said before. That was a rather extensive comment, recognizing that it was, well, it was the BC's fault that this issue came to the fore when we pushed so hard for what became known as the straw man improvements to RPMs after the guidebook was done. Okay? Anyone
do
else?
That. Yes, I remember as Councillor Weed created quite a fuss about it. Thank you. Yes.
Exactly. So if you're pleased with the report, if you and J. Scott are, then that's a good sign for us. Any other BC members wish to contribute to the work of J. Scott and Zahid on this? Is relevant to any of you who use the rights protection mechanisms and are also interested in future policy development in that area. All right, thanks. Third one is the idea that ICANN wants to reduce or eliminate the requirement for commercial liability insurance as part of the registrar accreditation agreement. They may do it on a means-tested basis or for developing parts of the world. There's a link to it there. Those comments closed the 13th of March. While we were in Singapore, Elisa Cooper and Alex Deacon with MPAA volunteered to draft those comments. Elisa, I see you're on the line. Anything to report on that effort, or is there anything I can do to be helpful?
No, I'm going to take a stab at it, and you know, hopefully I'll have something to you within the next few days.
Thank you very much. If there's anything I can do to help, let me know. The fourth and final one is that...
Steve.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's Marilyn. I just wanted to mention, Elisa, for you and Alex, if you could explain just a paragraph that explains something for the government so they understand the importance of this, that would be very, very helpful because it's kind of confusing to them. So if you could have a paragraph or two that explains why this development, I think we could just advance the understanding of the government about our concerns.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and the fourth one on here is ICANN staff has embarked upon a review of the rights protection mechanisms that have been applied in this latest round of new GTLDs. This is not the only review. There's another review the community will do as part of the affirmation of commitments. The GAC has also requested a review, an independent review of RPMs. This is a third review. It's driven by staff. Comments are supposed to close on the 3rd of April, so we've got some time. And glad to report that Kat McGowan with LinkedIn and Mahmoud Latouf both volunteered to draft those reports for the BC. And again, this is a review of the effectiveness of RPMs in the last round. Anyone else want to volunteer to help Kat and Mahmoud on that? Great. All right, let me turn next to the topic of a revised approach for country and territory names in the dot brand TLDs. Laura Covington, I know you're on the line, and I attached your one-page draft. And this is picking up on the fact that in Los Angeles, the GAC seemed to say they would support a streamlined process, at least for the dot brands, those who have qualified for Specification 13. And that's a streamlined process for the two-character and the country territory names. That came undone because a handful of governments convinced the GAC chair to write a letter to ICANN saying, hold on, we have some second thoughts. So we arrived in Singapore, and the GAC advice that came out on Wednesday said that governments want to be notified as soon as there's a request that's been initiated, that government comments should take 60 days, not 30, and that the government comments should be fully considered. They also said that per Specification 5, two-character releases have to get government approval, and that country names have to get reviewed by the GAC. Now, the GAC advice applies to basically all GTLDs, not just the dot brands. So I think that Laura is pointing out the fact that the GAC needs to appreciate that there's a huge distinction between a dot brand and a regular GTLD with respect to the safety, security, and desirability of having geographical indicators at the second level. So, Laura, I did want to turn it over to you. Folks, you can open this attachment. This is the second attachment to my policy calendar. There's not an active comment period. So this would be one of those instances where the BC feels strongly, wants to make a point, we might coordinate with our friends in the registry constituencies and brand registry group, but we ultimately would probably need to send a letter to the GAC or a letter to ICANN, deciding on what it is we are asking folks to do. So, Laura, why don't you take us through what you're thinking?
Well, I guess my thinking is very much what you've just said. My reservations about submitting anything are twofold. One is that the GAC in its communique and, you know, despite some differences of opinion as expressed in the meeting where they discussed these issues, some continuing differences of opinion, they did in their communique, you know, issue, you know, some comments which would suggest, you know, some consensus, if only around process, you know, new process, that there needs to be this list that would make it easier, better notification so the governments know, you know, what's being requested, and separately this list for registries to see which governments care about, you know, approving or not. And so I, you know, to the extent they now have some kind of consensus, despite this back and forth thing in the background, is it worth it to, you know, to say something? And then the other thing is, you know, there was some discussion going into the public comments, the public forum, about, you know, this really is more of a dot brand issue. You know, I think it's relevant to many of us in the BC, but I also wanted to, you know, throw it out there. You know, does anybody have any problem if we do, you know, make any comments about this based on feeling like it's really not so much a BC issue as it is a registry or a dot brand issue?
Hey, Laura, thank you for that. The draft comment that you circulated, the one I attached, is mostly about process. And it would be my personal opinion that process isn't our best point, since complaining about the process is not likely to change the GAC's mind about what they did. It's not going to undo the board resolution. I think looking forward, we should build upon the BC's long-established position that business registrants and business users benefit from security and safety of a dot brand and being able to localize it to a market or a country, a territory, both for linguistic purposes as well as market offerings, make a lot of sense. And that would point to us trying to argue for a much more streamlined process when it comes to the dot brands. And it's well within the BC's voice. The BC is on record on this, and much of the dot brand changes in the guidebook were prompted by BC comments that were submitted before the brand registry group was even formed. So what would be your thinking of the process? Complaining about process or being suggestive of how to streamline it for brands, you know, going ahead. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly it was, you know, it was easier if there was just, you know, either it was going to be an RCEP or better than that if there was going to be some other kind of streamlined process. I don't have the solution. You know, I hadn't really thought about it in terms of analyzing what's the best approach to it. But certainly I'm open to whatever folks think is the best, the easiest way. You know, for me, from my perspective, I just want to know what I need to do. You know, I just want to know, do I need to file an RCEP? Do I need to, you know, what are the hoops I need to go through? And I don't want those hoops to change or move.
Andy's next in the queue, but I wonder if anybody can answer the question that you just posed. Is the RCEP still a valid way for a dot brand to get the country, territory, and two characters? Andy, I'll turn to you next.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it is. The problem is that with the ability of governments to weigh in, they can simply object for no reason at all, and it's up in the air whether that serves as a veto or whether the board is going to consider that, how much weight they're going to give to that. So I actually don't have a huge problem with the streamlined process so long as we have some more clarity. And I'd love to advocate for a presumption of approval of these sort of requests for dot brands, absent exceptional circumstances, because currently the presumption seems to be, you know, if nobody objects, then there's a presumption of approval. But if anybody objects, then we don't know what happens, and that's problematic for dot brands.
The GAC did say in its advice that they were going to come up with a list of countries that were going to be fine with it, pre-approvals. I mean, ideally, we get a handful of countries that lead the way, lead by example. But I would assume that they would be much more willing to give blanket approvals to DOT brands than they would to all new GTLDs.
Right.
And I think I heard Phil Corwin. Did you say something just now? I'm sorry. Anyone else in the queue? Elisa, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, so there are a bunch of generics that have actually also made requests for two letters, country codes and non-country codes. And we started to talk about this in Singapore, and I think the BC should probably look further into this. I think, you know, there, what will result is if we allow, you know, just the generic TLDs to essentially have two-letter country codes delegated to the registry, and the registry then start selling third levels. I mean, you're just proliferating the number of registrations, and it puts a tremendous burden on brand owners.
Steve, it's Marilyn. Can I get in the queue?
Okay, Marilyn. Elisa, before I turn to Marilyn, there are no significant restrictions of what happens below the second level in any form right now. So I would think that if brands have to defend themselves with defensive registrations at the third level today, that isn't just because of geographical name. It could be anything they put at the second level as to whether a company has to buy a defensive registration below that. ICANN doesn't manage anything below the second level. Isn't that right?
No, they do. So, like, if you think back to .wed, they released all of those third levels. And I think there was a question about whether or not the RPMs would apply to those third levels, but those were sold through the registry as third-level registrations.
Steve, if I could comment and then go on to others, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to support the idea that brands, governments can understand a distinct category of brands and treat them as a special category. And my engagement with government, I think that can be validated, and I think we can also justify why we are engaging with special characteristics or qualifications for dot brand. I say that, and then I go to the generic. I think the governments are very concerned about generics. And if we can differentiate why we are, you know, dot brands, applicants need to carry their own water, but we can come forward with validating information and support, I think that's easier for the governments who are very concerned about exploitation. When there's nobody paying attention, they can build a trusting relationship with brands. That on the generics, it's kind of a scary world for them. And maybe we can build a relationship that supports what we believe is rational about the dot brands, and then limit the exploitation concerns that they have in the generics at the second level and the third level.
Thank you, Marilyn. That's very consistent with what we discussed earlier than the prior BC position on brands, and it's consistent with what Laura is talking about at trying to create a streamlining that is targeted to brands. And that might be the only way to set the GAC at ease, is to understand that it's safe for them to streamline for brands, and they can relax about that. That might be the only thing we can do at this point. That's why I feel like complaining about process, Laura, doesn't really get us anywhere, because it's done, right? The board acted immediately upon the GAC advice, and it seems
right.
to act very quickly on this. And I don't know what complaining about that would do unless we were to do a formal reconsideration or an independent review of the board's decision to accept that GAC advice that way. But
right. Well, that's why I had the question is, you know, when we were in Singapore, when we first discussed this, and it was prior to the GAC communique, so I completely get the need to shift a bit now. I'm not wedded.
Looking ahead, if we have, there's a tiny opening in the door in that the GAC advice, you know, keeps alive the idea that they could come up with a list, that they could come up with a streamlined process. But I think they've opened the door a tiny bit, and we need to go through that door with a streamlined process for those who qualify as Spec 13. That may not be the BC's leading role. I mean, to Marilyn's point, it might be the brand registry group that would lead on that, and the BC should be there to support it since we came up with a lot of these ideas long before BRG even existed. What do folks on the call believe is the right path ahead?
And it's Marilyn. Can I just ask a quick question? Don't we think that the ALAC would also support this?
Don't know.
I'd be happy to explore if they would, because coming in with an advisory committee support for this would be also very helpful. And if you wanted, I could, once we reach what our views are, we could quickly go after them.
That's right, but our views are pretty well slam dunk. It's our what is our path ahead? How do we articulate those views? There's no open public comment. We don't even know what process the GAC is going to employ to come through on their promise of putting together a list on the GAC website, a list of countries that are going to be agreeable to certain releases. So to be honest, I would ask that folks on the call, like Andy, like Laura, Cecilia, can you do some outreach to Brand Registry Group and Martin Sutton to see if they are deciding how to move ahead and take advantage of the small opening that the GAC gave us? And then maybe we can...
Sorry.
Andy, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, this is actually a pretty similar situation to the name collision situation at the second level with the release of the block names. And we were effective there where we had a joint letter together with the IPC and the registry stakeholder group. And because we are relatively aligned with those groups, again, on this issue, I wonder if a similar letter wouldn't be effective here again.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Do we do a formal outreach? Does anyone on the call know if BRG is already doing something like this?
This is Laura. We don't have another call for another week or so, but I'm happy to circulate something to the list. I don't know if Martin's on this call. I don't think he's on this call today, but I'm happy to circulate something within the BRG and see what they think about it. I think it probably makes sense for them to lead, frankly, and then, you know, if the IPC and the BC and others want to pile on, that seems great, but I think that it may be best for them to lead, to be honest.
And if they lead by drafting the position, to Andy's point, they don't have to go out there alone. It could be a joint letter when it's first
right.
reviewed to the GAC. One of the keys is to say, who is the audience? Is it the GAC or is it ICANN? What is the purpose? Is it to streamline or to complain? And the audience and the purpose will drive the design of the letter. And I think it's pointless to write a letter until we know who's the audience and what is our purpose. And that would be the kind of dialogue we should have with BRG right now. Yes? And Cecilia, you're in the queue as well. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to agree with Laura and just say that I can help in any way with circulating or discussing with the BRG group as well.
Great. Then my recommendation is that you folks who are involved there at least ask the brand registry group, as opposed to circulating draft points for them, because it's not like we have that much to say yet. We should ask them, what is your strategy to react to or exploit the opportunities that have been created by the GACS advice, the GACS communique, and the board's resolution. And then report back to our BC on BC private, so it doesn't go outside of the BC list. Report back to BC private whatever you learn about BRG's plans, and then we can coalesce around a way to support them. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to lead on that communication with the BRG.
Right. And we are, I mean, to Marie and everybody else is in the chat, this conversation is about brands. It's not about other GTLDs. It's about dot brands or specification 13 registries.
Steve, it's Marilyn. I just want to very quickly support all of this, but also note that there are trademarks also in the NGO world, and once we get our position together, I would suggest we make a quick outreach to Rudy, the chair of the NPOC. I think there's a lot of allegiance when the NGOs also have brands. They're not a part of the dot brands group, but they might lend some support for us. But we need to have our act together and then ask them.
Yeah, agreed. We don't know. We don't even know who the audience and what our purpose is yet. Too early to ask for help if we don't even know what it is we're asking for. All right. Well, Laura, anything else on there? Your hand's still up?
Oh, sorry. That was from before.
No worries. Thanks, Laura, for taking the lead on this and being so concerned. Let me turn next to this notion of a vision. This is the last item under Channel 1. While we met in Singapore, a number of you, Kat McGowan, who's on the call, Laura and Marilyn, were joined by Jay Scott and Stefan, saying that when it comes to the GNSO review and restructuring, if we can develop a sensible vision for the restructuring, we need to put it in paper and start to recruit allies in GNSO so that we can push hard for the GNSO review to include the element of restructuring. And that visioning document would be something that is in the camp of, Jay Scott, Kat, Stefan, Laura, and Marilyn. Anything to report on that?
I still don't know what time zone I'm in, Steve, so I'm afraid not.
Not a worry.
However, it's Marilyn. Maybe we could just look for a brainstorming call in the next couple of weeks and then come back for our next CC call. If that sounds okay?
That sounds good.
Okay, I'd like to turn it over to Phil. I don't think Susan's with us yet, but Phil Corwin, anything you want to report on the council meeting last week in Singapore?
Thanks, Steve. Can you hear me okay?
We do.
Okay. Oh, and also, Steve, before when you had asked for others willing to assist on the comment letter on the RPMs, I raised my hand, so wasn't recognized at the time, but just want to get that on the record. I'd be happy to help on that.
Thank you.
In regard to the council activities, the next meeting of the council will be March 19th. There's no agenda yet, so I can't raise that with you. At the BC meeting in Singapore, we discussed what had gone on in council over the weekend before we met. And this morning, just before the BC call, I sent around an edited transcript from the council meeting of Wednesday, February 11th, which took place in Singapore, showing participation by myself and Susan. I guess I don't know if Susan's still in transit or whatever, but I know she's not on the call today. Real quickly, and if people want to discuss any of this, there was intervention on the discussion of the new ICANN meeting plans for next year, and we're also trying to get a handle on that. But Jonathan Robinson indicated he thinks they're going to enforce that four-day thing pretty strictly, that council will have to meet during that four-day period and will not have a chance to meet beforehand. But we're still trying to get a handle on the schedule and funding. On the IANA transition, I reiterated the BC support for the internal so-called internal solution, but noted that as we became more familiar with the four options that are before the transition group now, we understand they're all complicated. They all share some essential elements, and we're waiting to see the next version that's put out for public comment in the next month or two. to see where we stand as a constituency on that. There was extensive discussion on who is, and Susan intervened on that to a great extent. Her remarks are in that transcript. GNS review, I brought up the personal comment on the need to assure that private sector members were not going to push in the future for using technical control of the DNS to restrict information flows, that this would not be good for business. And then on TLD auction funds, I noted that while we weren't against starting a process, so at least there's a placeholder for the GNSO to have a say on disposition. Jonathan Robinson indicated that he was concerned if the council didn't start to get engaged, that the board might think they didn't care and might go off on their own. But that we thought, given the community's active engagement on so many big issues now, that this should be a slow and considered process, because right now the people most likely to jump in with ideas for how to use the money would be those who wanted to get their hands in the cookie jar. And, in fact, right after I made that comment, James Waddell spoke and said that the registrar stakeholder group wanted to use the money for dealing with the universal acceptance situation for new TLDs, which is not surprising. It may be one worthwhile use, but, we don't want to rush into this, and the money in there is likely to get a lot larger before the decision is made. That's it. That was the extent of BC Councilor intervention at last Wednesday's meeting, so I don't have any other issues to bring up right now, since we don't know the agenda for the March meeting.
Thanks, Bill. And you made a colorful hand in the cookie jar metaphor during council when it came to that auction proceeds. Appreciate that. Any questions for Phil on council activities?
It's Marilyn. Can I get in the queue?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
The policy budget is somewhere between 6 to 8% of ICANN's total budget. I know that's kind of a surprise to all of you, because mm-hmm. that's what we spend our time on. But amazingly, David Olive's ability to affect expenditure on our behalf is it's both profound but limited. We have really great policy staff, I think, supporting the council. But I just want to flag when we start thinking about what affects us and how we then benefit from other expenditures, the council's important but limited in their ability to reflect backwards. At the same time, we need to be thinking that intersessional funding and funding for the working groups of the council may need to be really significantly beefed up. When we look ahead, once the meeting, the change in the format of the meetings takes place, and there's only a four-day meeting, if the council, Phil, if you and Susan think, I will tell you that I think, that you need to be asking for additional funding so that you can do your work intersessionally, or increase the meeting in that short four-day meeting that ICANN is planning, we got to get that funding request in now. And Jimson and I are part of the budget group. You may need to be thinking now that you're asking to have additional provisionary funding so you can have intersessional meetings, or you can have you can add a two-day meeting for the council for that short four-day meeting. I'm just
positioning this so you can start thinking about how the council addresses it.
Yeah, thank you, Marilyn. I think those are the good thoughts, and in fact, after I made my comment, and you can see it in the transcript excerpt, after I made my comment on the new meeting schedule, Jonathan Robinson came back noting that he thought ICANN might take a hard line on any group asking for extra days before the official start, but then emphasizing that everyone needed to start thinking about the next year's budget and the financing for this meeting. So that what you just said is right in concert with what Jonathan noted at the meeting last week, and thanks for flagging it.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Any other questions for Phil? Elise, I only had one other item on policy, and that is the discussion group on the next round of new GTLDs. Ron Andrew circulated a note on that, and I'm glad to report we have two BC volunteers who are going to join that discussion group and keep us apprised of what they're working on. That's Steve Coates at Twitter and Cecilia at 21st Century Fox. So thank you to Steve and Cecilia. I trust by now you've had a chance to look at that note. It looks as if there's some report that will be developed by the DG. So please dive right in. Anything you want to share with your colleagues about that right now? Okay, Lisa, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So I don't have anything else to cover today. Unless there is anything anyone else wants to bring to the table, I'll take a cue.
Elisa, it's Marilyn. I would like to raise a concern and ask if we think it's a serious concern, then we raise it with the CSG XCOM. I just want to flag it, and it's an informational point. In the past, the transcripts for team meetings were always made available within 12 to 24 hours. I take great attention to this because if we're not in a meeting, unless one of our members captures the real-time transcript, then we have to wait until the transcript is available. I'm tracking the availability of transcripts, and some were available yesterday. Some were available 24 hours ago. But the point is, we don't have transcripts within 12 to 24 hours of the meetings and that means we're dependent on whether our members are capturing them, but they're also not available to the broader community. And I'm thinking we were told in the last budget meeting that Bobby had saved $230,000 by delaying the transcripts, but they're not available, you know, thinking that they weren't available until the 16th, 17th, 18th that's several days after the meeting. Could we think about checking in with our colleagues and maybe advising that a more rapid turnaround on the transcripts will advance the transparency and the accountability of the public meetings?
Yeah, I can raise that with body and staff at our next month. In terms of transcripts for the BC meetings and the CSG meetings, those have been turned around within.
I know. We actually have preferential treatment, which we don't need to go into. But it's really phenomenal. We get ours turned around with rapid turnaround. It's really fantastic.
All right. Yeah, I'd be happy to mention that. I think, honestly, it has to do with the fact that when they send those transcripts before they post them, they ask whoever is the chair of that particular meeting to review the transcript to make sure it looks okay. So that's where the delay could be, because I'm asked to look at those transcripts briefly get back and make sure, you know, give my okay before they're posted. So I'm guessing that's where the delay is. But I can check in and find out. Any other questions, comments, or things that maybe you want to make sure we discuss on our next call? All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining today's call, and especially to Steve for a great policy review as always. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And if the XCOM members would stand by, we'll transfer your lines into the next conference. Thank you.